Hello?
Hello.
Hi, Christine. This is Carla.
How are you, Carla?
I'm good, thank you. And you, how was your interview?
It was a job fair, and it was actually really awful. It was so crowded. You couldn't move. You couldn't talk to anybody. They had way more people than they had space.
Oh, that's
awful. It wasn't a very productive use of my time, unfortunately. Thank you for asking.
You're welcome. And you know, everything has something valuable.
You know, I was sitting there thinking, I wish I could just take a little space and teach some yoga or some breathing because everybody there was so stressed out.
Mm-hmm. Hello, ladies.
Hi, Sasha.
Hi, Sasha.
You're carrying on without me. Do I even need to be here? I love it. How are you?
I'm good.
Okay, we'll go ahead and begin with our grounding. And who would like to volunteer for that job this afternoon? A breath, any breath work, any intention for our work together?
Has everyone had a chance?
I believe at this point we have. I did the first one, and we're on week 8, so that's 7. So we are circling back, and you can take a second chance. I mean, go again for the second time. Yes.
Okay. I'll do it.
Great. Thank you, Joyce.
Okay. Hello, everybody. Take a seat. Close your eyes and imagine yourself at the beach. The sun is warm on your face, and you are listening to the ocean. The waves are rolling in and out. Match your breath to them. When they roll out, they carry all the old stories. When they roll back in, they bring new possibilities. They roll in and out. It will always be this way. Take comfort and find peace. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti. Wow. What a beautiful beach metaphor. Can I borrow that?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you.
You know, there's nothing original.
And everything's been recycled, I know.
Uh-huh.
Well, thank you, Joyce. I feel like I just want to go to the beach right now. Anyway, so welcome, everyone. I hope you've had a great week. I mentioned briefly that Sue will not be with us today. She is with her daughter in the Big Apple. So they've had that on the books for a little while. So she'll be listening to the recording and joining us next week. So because we just have 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, well, when Genevieve joins us, we'll have 6. Right now we have 5. I really want to go around and have everyone share, but because I don't want to eat up a lot of time with the sharing, my big deal is, you know, I want inclusivity. I want everyone to feel like they have a chance to share if they want. You can certainly pass, but as long as we keep it to about 90 seconds per person or less, just something that is really bubbling to the surface for you that you think would be impactful for the group to hear would be great. So one win and one challenge. Who would like to go first? And as always, keep the line super clear, if you're not speaking, let's be on mute, *6, please.
I'll go. This is Christine, since I didn't talk much last week because I was in the car.
All right. Thanks, Christine.
I think my challenge, just looking for a job is very challenging. It's really a lot more exhausting than I expected it to be, and school is harder than I expected it to be. So my win is that I'm here and that I'm present, and despite the fact that everything seems like a challenge right now, it's just been one of those weeks where everything seems like a challenge. I think, you know, I took a breath. I went to the beach with Joyce's little reflection, and I'm here, and I'm present, and I think that's my win.
Yes, you are, and we're so glad to have you here. And if I heard you correctly, the challenge was that the school and the job piece.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, you're going through a spot where everything seems like a challenge in your life.
Awesome. Thank you. And take a breath into that. And, acknowledging that you are here and fully present. Thank you. Who's next?
It's Randy. I can go.
Thanks, Randy.
Well, three wins, very short. One is I had a nice piece of chocolate, and that's just always a win when I have one.
Okay.
Another one is delightful. Is that deep enough? A delightful conversation with a friend this morning who is going through some deep personal change, and it just felt sweet to connect with her and understand what she's going through. And a third one was making some real progress on a website. So it looks like we have dates for it to have our launch, and so I'm happy about that. And I guess my challenge would be just still waking up in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and it's challenging sometimes at nights to make it through, but then the day comes and I feel kind of ready to take it on. So that's it.
Wonderful. That's great news on the website. Are you managing some different ways of to lengthen your sleep? Are you trying some different ways to try to manage that?
Yeah, working on it. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Just making sure I get enough rest through the day and then seeing what the cause is and working on that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. You're welcome. Welcome, Genevieve. Just sharing a win and a challenge, 90 seconds, and if you're not speaking, put yourself on mute. So who would like to go next?
This is Joyce.
Thanks, Joyce. Go ahead.
My win was I had my high school reunion this weekend, and I was the chairperson in charge. And I have to tell you, it was my 50th high school reunion.
Oh, my goodness.
So
wow.
Putting this thing together was quite a challenge. I worked on it for a year and a half, but it was such an enormous success. It was so, everyone was kind. Everyone was just happy to be there. It was a wonderful experience and worth every second I put into it. So basking in that glow. The challenge is I've decided it is not a good idea to coach either of my sisters. It's not a good idea.
I should put myself on mute. I'm sorry. Okay.
Okay. That's it.
That's great. Well, insight is wonderful and clarity is even better. That high school reunion sounds amazing. That's a big win, and I think that's a perfect opportunity to grab some coaching clients.
Oh, they need it.
Yeah.
a lot
Thanks,
Joyce. A lot of health coaching.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, who would you like to go next?
It's Jamie.
Thanks, Jamie.
I think my win and my challenge are pretty much the same. Like I heard Christine share, just been going through a very uncomfortable kind of week. And my win is just continuing to show up. And what flew through my mind was when I first got back into my yoga practice, and I was always encouraged, especially doing something like pigeon pose, to just kind of breathe into it and stay with it, even though whatever pose it was, even though it was uncomfortable. And so I've really been making an effort to take that off my mat and into my life. And I really feel like I've been doing that in the past, especially the past week, but really ever since the certification started and my yoga teacher training. And I have another class, and I'm also looking for a job. So all of a sudden, things just started to feel very uncomfortable, but I haven't bolted and run off my mat.
Wow. Well, thanks for sharing. Yeah, I'm a big proponent of and believer in that when we're on the mat, it's a reflection and a mirror. Mm-hmm. Of how we show up in life off the mat. And yoga, simply by its definition, invites discomfort. And so finding the tools that you can use to find a place of centering and grounding on your mat and take those tools and use them in places where it really matters, which is off the mat. So thank you. Thank you for your honesty and your sharing. Okay. Carla and Genevieve, who would like to go next?
This is Carla.
Thanks, Carla.
Okay. It was a pretty hectic week, so to be completely honest, I didn't have a chance to think about a win or a challenge. But right now on the spot, if I can only think of a win, and that's that I had two separate workshops. And I got a lot of presence from that workshop that I can, that showed me, that gave me a lot of tools to how I want to coach.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And it's, and any challenge that comes to your mind? And you may not have had one.
Actually, just one that pops up now, but it's not a real challenge. It's my daughter came home from a party where she went with a couple of friends, and then she told me what that she discussed something with her friends and the advice that the friends gave to her, and I managed to keep my mouth shut, because I told her that 3 weeks earlier. So that was quite a challenge to not say anything. But the biggest challenge is that she's like a laser machine. She knows me so well that even if I shut my mouth, she can see right through me. And this time, she didn't do it. So I did something very well.
Yes, and in those moments, that's where you just want to take a deep breath, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, Genevieve, would you like to briefly share a win and the challenge of your week?
Okay, my win was driving down to Southern California to stay with my family. I got this. I'm actually still here right now. I'm leaving right after the call to get on the plane. And my challenge was I did a coaching session with a friend of mine, and it was actually my first actual coaching session that I have done. So I have a lot that I need to do between here and we don't need to finish all of our coaching before the end of class.
We need to finish them by the end of the program, which is week 12. And we're on week 8.
Really soon. Okay. I can email you off the line about that.
Okay.
So I had my first one, and my friend who I was coaching is very cognizant about her patterns and what she's doing, and she's actually in this space of going to India. She's about to leave because she's at this crossroads and blah, blah, blah. Anyways, it was really challenging for me to coach her because of the fact that she was so cognizant and aware of her patterns and her behaviors and what she's doing and what she's, doing. And so I had a hard time creating the closing of students trying to find something to take for her to take away from the session that she kind of didn't already know. Yeah, so that was, she did have some, I actually wish she had tears and blah, 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 and that was great, but I don't know. I kept looking for something to, so what can you do, blah, 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 and then she would come up with something. So that was my challenge.
Okay. And
yeah.
I'm sure we've all been in that situation before, and as you continue to grow and build this muscle, you'll find other perspectives and other ways of looking at that. But it sounds like your client was super resourced, and I don't want to go too much into that in this moment, but feel free, to chat with me or anyone else, buddy, in the group around that situation so we can give you some support and some suggestions.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Okay. So we are going to drop into our agenda, and we're going to take a slight shift today. Before we do, let's turn to page 99 and 100, and if someone would volunteer to just, we review these because these five steps of the simple coaching model are the infrastructure of being a mentor coach. And so we give each one. We highlight each one and give it its own weight, except for number 5, which we'll briefly go through today. But I would like for someone that feels comfortable or even uncomfortable, better, wants to take a risk and just share their understanding of number 4, framing the masterpiece, framing the session, what we talked about last week.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, Genevieve.
Okay. As I was saying just briefly of, when I had the session with my friend, she had a slew of things that she was talking about, and I kind of did go and help her break things down. And it's like, what I'm hearing you say in a nutshell with this and that and the other thing is such and such. And then, I really had a hard time framing the session because there was a lot there, she doesn't know, the coaching model that we're trying to frame the session, but I kind of didn't know how to sum it all up and have her take away something, and so I just said, okay. So when I was trying to, so when you go to India, what is it that you can do to, and then it had to do with self-love. It really did. And so I was like, okay, so what can you do, from now until the time that you leave to India, even possibly when you are in India, and I just didn't even know how to say what I was trying to say. So I had a hard time.
Right, and I hear that, and I love what you just said. What can you do in India? I don't know the details of the coaching session, but it sounded like, self-love is something that you just brought up. What can you do is a great thing. Just giving her something to chew on or You know, if you turn to the top of page 100, you know, you just want to come to some kind of agreement on what your client's next steps will be. And you can use any one of A through D, which will help take you there. You can simply acknowledge your client, you know, for bringing what she brought to the call and for being resourced and for being clear. That doesn't mean that people don't need coaching. It may mean that someone doesn't need coaching if they, you know, they're on track and they're moving forward towards the things that are important to them. I mean, that's possible too, but you can use A, B, C, and D to help facilitate that piece if you're feeling stuck. So use this. Use this book, this manual, as a roadmap. I'm always constantly referring to it. There's so much information in here. But I hear you that it was felt like a challenge with this particular client to frame the masterpiece, but I have a sense that she took much more away from the session than maybe you're giving yourself credit for. So just keep practicing. That would be my suggestion.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else have any inquiries around framing the masterpiece? Just want to make sure it's clear before we move on to number five. Okay, great. So would someone please read number five, the follow-up? And we're just going to talk about it for a couple minutes. It's pretty straightforward, not a whole lot of, you know, misinterpretation here. But if someone could read that paragraph, that would be great. Middle of page 100.
I'll read it.
Thanks, Randy.
Okay, follow-up. The key role for the mentor coach is that of accountability partner. In the subsequent session, as a coach, you are an accountability partner. This means that you have jotted down the client's commitments from the previous session, and if the client does not mention what he or she has done regarding those commitments, it is your obligation to check in. A follow-up for the client's commitments of things to accomplish between sessions built in accountability and continuity with the overall mission.
Great. So thanks, Randy. It feels to me like it's pretty straightforward, and we talked last week a little bit about the discernment between coaching and therapy or consulting is that accountability piece, that in between the sessions that you're having, whether weekly, bi-monthly, whatever your arrangement is, you are checking in. I check in with my clients once a week. I either shoot them a text or an email and how are things going just to keep them on task for the homework that they have agreed to. So that's one piece of it. And then the second piece is that when you get on your next call, if I'm not doing the grounding with them, the next piece is, okay, so just want to check in. Where are you with the homework? So that you are kind of weaving the threads together from session to session in terms of the accountability piece. Now, the session may take on a totally different tangent, but you're connecting the last session with the present session and bringing to the forefront exactly and reminding and keeping them engaged in the process of what they agreed to do the prior week. Any questions on the follow-up?
So I had a question. Actually, this was new information in that if you only meet with somebody every 2 weeks or maybe a month, that you like to follow up with them at least once. Is that right? Or if you were meeting with them monthly, do you check in with them once a week? And then is there more of a dialogue that's happening, or is it more just letting them know that you're checking in and wanting to see how things are going and leaving it at that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the latter. I have personally never had a situation where I'm coaching a client once a month. The longest I have been in with the relationships that I have now with the clients that I'm working with, the longest time span is 2 weeks. I encourage my clients to meet weekly, at least for a couple months. and then if they want to space it out. But if I was coaching someone once a month, I think knowing me, I would do a weekly check-in. It takes, you know, 30 seconds to a minute to just shoot them an email or text, hey, how's it going? Just so they know that they are feeling supported. Maybe it's a reminder, oh, my gosh, I didn't do my homework. You know, I really want to commit to this relationship, and I've got an accountability partner here reminding me and supporting me, so I better get on it. It's easier to do once a week when you're coaching people weekly. Same thing. If it's 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I would personally send a check-in once a week, but you decide. You can create that however you want, whatever works best for you and your client, but it is important to do some sort of check-in.
And if you meet with them every week, are you doing a follow-up halfway through the week?
I'm doing a check-in in between sessions, correct.
Okay. Great.
Just
thank
sort
you.
Of like a you're welcome, a gentle nudge, a gentle reminder, hey, I'm here, let me know how I can support you. It goes a long way. Any other questions on the follow-up?
I just have another question, kind of along the lines of what Brandy's wondering. Also, what if someone wanted to just one time? They just, you know, it's like, because I know when I was doing what I was doing, I was like, coaching is expensive, and I just need an additional, nudge on something. I guess you would just follow up once, and then that's it? If they just were interested in doing one session?
Yeah.
Or do you not even work with someone for one session?
Well, both. I mean, I've never had that situation. I've never had that question, but it's fair to ask. You're really not building a coach-client relationship on a one-time basis, and nothing changes. We all know in our lives, in our yoga practice, that one time is not going to make a great change, but we can't set up those parameters for someone else. If somebody wants to have a coaching session and not commit to anything further, two things can happen. One, they can be like, wow, that was really amazing. I got a lot of valuable information. I really dig this person that I'm working with, and I feel like that we, going forward, we can really work together. Maybe I can talk to them about a sliding scale. Maybe I can figure out what works best in my budget. Maybe it's once a month. Maybe it's once every 3 weeks. So there's options there. And the second thing is, it might be like, okay, well, that was great, and I'll take it from here. So that in the latter case, you're not really building a coaching relationship. So there's really, in my opinion, no necessity to follow up. I mean, you could just send them an email and check in. How was that for you? If in the future you ever want to do more coaching on a more frequent basis, you can maybe throw in any kind of sliding scale or budget restraints. You can, dialogue with them that way. Is that helpful?
Yes.
Okay, great. Awesome. Great questions, you guys. So let's go ahead and move into our agenda for today on page 145. And as I mentioned earlier, we're going to take a slight shift today, tapping a bit into the business and marketing side of mentor coaching. So on page 145 and 146, this is the undeniable benefit statement. And really what that means is it's your professional identity and your brand. So you want to decide, you want to play around with, how do you craft a message about what you do, right? So an undeniable benefit statement is really about maximum marketing effectiveness. It may be a tagline that you have on the back of a business card. And it takes some time to sort of massage through it and filter out some things that you want, to add in things filter out things that you don't want, add in things that you do want, until it sounds like it's something that really represents you and your work in the world. So I want to spend, you know, the majority of our call together on this, and we're going to be reading a bit through this. So, first paragraph, please, who would like to read that aloud to the group? Top of page 145.
I will, it's Jamie.
Thanks, Jamie.
Your undeniable benefit statement is the first sentence you say out loud when describing to people what you do as a mentor coach. It will be the most prominent sentence in your role description, and you may include it on the back of your business card. This statement is your response to what do you do uniquely well, and how do you describe it?
Great. Thank you. So this is basically a way of getting their attention, right? The key element that you want to remember when you're crafting this is, can the person hearing it put themselves in it? Can they put themselves in the situation you're describing and be so, like it appeals to them so much that they say, tell me more. That's what you want your UBS to be, like, tell me more. Not those words, but that's what you want to elicit in the person that you're talking to. It can't be this long, drawn-out dissertation because, you know, our time span is limited. You know, they say now it's about 30 seconds, you know, for commercials to, like, really grab your attention. And in the world of technology that we live in now, when so much is being cast our way, I really feel like we even have shorter attention spans. So it's super important to grab their attention immediately. And we'll continue to practice. But the few things that you want to think about when you're crafting your UBS is to communicate effectively, persuasively, and concisely. All right, who would like to read the second paragraph aloud?
I will. This is Christine.
Thank you.
Your undeniable benefit statement is one succinct, distinctive, and compelling sentence that immediately tells people who you work with, what you work on, and the benefits. It's your value proposition and description of benefits that your clients get in working with you. This statement is not about you, the features or the virtues of your coaching, but who you work with and the benefits they receive from working with you.
Great. So, you know, I feel like everything is based on relationships and to look at this, like, how may we help each other? And we'll talk about Dr. Day's mentor coach story in a little bit. I would love to bring in an example of a UBS with yoga. So maybe as a yoga teacher. And it doesn't have to be anything that you worked on. It can just be like off the top of your head. But it might be easier, you know, to craft that if you have been teaching yoga for a while. As to use as an example in creating the statement. Does anybody want to, and you can use the example on page 146. I help blank to blank. Like I help, for example, students with disabilities to find strength in body, mind, and spirit through the practice of yoga, something like that. There's no right or wrong. Does anybody want to try to give a yoga example of the UBS?
I have one. Christine,
great.
Again.
Yay.
I talk a lot this week because I didn't talk at all last week.
Talk away, girlfriend.
I always say to my students that I teach yoga for everybody and everybody. Just so trying to be very inclusive.
Yes, it sounds very inclusive and right to the point, right? And what are the benefits of a student hearing that UBS from you?
I think sometimes people are intimidated by yoga, especially if they don't look like a traditional yoga student. They feel maybe they're not flexible enough. They've got an injury. They've got some kind of an issue that they feel they can't participate. And so that statement says that, you know, we can make this work for anybody.
That's so great. Such a refreshing perspective. Does anybody else want to share a UBS with yoga?
This is Jamie.
Okay, thanks, Jamie.
So in my karma project that I just started, I think I'm kind of getting what you're talking about. I am working specifically with women who are in recovery from substance addictions. And what we are engaged in specifically, I am assisting them through yoga, mindfulness, and meditation to become embodied, to come into their physical being and find more comfort in actually being in their physical being.
Great. Is that just something that you are explaining to us, or are you putting that into a UBS form?
No, I was trying to put it into a UBS form.
Okay. So do it again. Do it again. We'll help you. Because you're on the right track.
I assist, I help women who are in recovery for substance abuse, substance addiction, to become, I want to say, friendly with their bodies. To become embodied I can't think of the words the particular words to describe it. People who are moving from living their lives completely dissociated from their physical being, actually coming into their physical being and making friends with it.
Right. Would anyone else like to help Jamie out? Is if there's anything that comes to your mind to fill out the second piece, maybe help put some language around these women that are recovering from addiction to become more connected and embodied?
This is Carla.
Go ahead.
Is it something to use a metaphor to make them conscious that their body is actually their house or their home? That they are traveling, that life is something like a journey, and that you need a vehicle to do it? And that's your body, and then your body, when you're not in sync with your body, that you won't achieve anything?
Is your question, can you use, or, yeah, would you use a metaphor in the UBS? Is that your question?
It's a suggestion, because I work a lot with metaphors, so that's the first thing that comes into my mind.
Jamie, how does that feel to you?
What came from that particular comment was the sense of assisting these women to come home. Home being their physical, emotional, and spiritual being.
Oh. Wow. That just took on a whole nother energy. right? So just using us as an example, that's why I wanted you guys to be somewhat interactive and just throwing things out there. And together we can support each other and sort of refining it. And it can go through many revisions, right? But just to feel how the impact of using language can have an effect, an energetic effect on your client. So with Jamie's example, you want to use language that's applicable to the person or group of people that you're speaking to. So if you, as you go forward on your path to mentor coaching, want to work with a specific population, then of course you're going to create and craft your UBS around that specific population, the target audience that you are going to be working with. You may have more than one UBS, right? But you want it, and then if you're working with just the general population, then you can have one that's pretty general. But this is, you know, more to get the person you're talking to, whether it's a potential client, a client, existing client, what a group of people, a company, whatever group you're proposing to, whatever person you're proposing to, that it feels compelling. Like, what are the benefits to this group? What are the benefits to this person? And that is really no different than yoga. You know, why would I go take a yoga class, you know, if I've never done that before? Well, we all know as teachers and practitioners that the benefits of yoga are immense. There are so many, right? And if you distill it down to a group of people specifically that you want to work with, then you can also distill down your UBS. Okay? So compelling. Any questions on the UBS so far? And we'll continue. Okay, great. Third paragraph. Who would like to read, please?
This is Joyce. I'll read it.
Thank you.
Your UV statement is about engaging clients. The ideal response from a potential client is, tell me more. The key element is if the people hearing it can place themselves inside it as a recipient of it and hear it, speak to them about the benefit they will receive.
Right. So a little bit about what I, just adding on to what I said, or I was adding on to what this said. You want to engage your clients. Tell me more. You don't want to give like a 10-minute spiel around what you do because of people's attention span. And if it's someone that you're talking to for the first time, like maybe even a stranger standing in line in a bank or the grocery store, wherever, and you know how random conversations get struck up, and you ask each other what you do, those are the times that this, you know, the UB statement would be really appropriate to have it down so that you can just, when someone asks you what you do, boom, there it is. And, you know, to language it in a way that they're like, wow, I want to learn more. And maybe the next time it's about, well, I do a 30-minute free consultation. Would you like to set one up? You know, that's not our conversation today. But it's leading the potential client to want to know more and maybe set up that free consultation. Great. Any questions on that piece? Okay. Fourth paragraph, including the bullet points that go at the bottom of page 145 and the top of page 146.
Sasha, this is Genevieve. I just wanted to let you know I don't have my book, so it's not that I don't want to read. I just don't have my book.
Okay. Okay. As long as you're listening and here, I'm happy. Thank you.
Sure.
This is Carla.
Go ahead, Carla.
Cross the message with clarity, bravery, simplicity, and humanity. Avoid language that makes promises sound esoteric or feels vague or abstract. Avoid jargon. Consider this set of questions as you think about your yearly statement. What's my promise? Who is it for? What problem does it solve? Who else out there is similar? How do I stand apart? What set of words summarizes this?
Great. We'll hold you there for a second. Thanks, Carla. So, again, we talked a little bit about the clarity, brevity, simplicity piece last week. And now you add in the humanitarian piece. So when you craft your message, everyone and their brother should be able to understand exactly what you do, that it's not created with so much jargon or with, you know, sounds of being esoteric, just sort of out there, feels vague. Like it says, you want to really hone in on these three, and then four things: clarity, brevity, simplicity, and humanity. Humanitarian piece, I feel like, is what connects us to each other. So, you know, just considering that when you're crafting your statement. The most important communication is listening to your client to see what benefits you may bring. So say you're in that bank or you're in that grocery store and you're having a conversation with someone and maybe they go first and tell you what they do. A great skill to hone is to be able to adjust and adapt your UV statement as to the way that your work, your mentor coaching, could benefit them. So by, again, using the listening skills that we've been practicing for 8 weeks now, right, listening to this person that you're speaking with, and what kind of benefits could you bring to their life? And so, you know, you can, it's challenging, you know, you can be married to your UBS and, you know, this is what I say all the time. And once you get it down and you're comfortable with it, then there's some room for it to sort of grow organically in on the spot, or in the situation with the person that you're potentially going to be working with. Now, if you're really set on only working with a specific population, absolutely nothing wrong with that. Then just know that that conversation will be, unless that person is within that community of people that you are coaching, then it's really not going to be served. But again, this is more general. But again, listening, really paying attention to what this person is saying to you, and then giving back to them, what are the benefits that your work could do for their life? What questions do you have on this piece? Okay, no questions? All right, brilliant group here. So right below where Carla left off are a few examples of UB statements, just giving some ideas in different industries of the type of people that you would be working with and what you would say. So I'm curious if anybody began to craft their UB statement and would like to share it with the group, and maybe we can help you in some way or answer any questions that you may have.
This is Joyce. I think I need help.
Okay.
I wrote down like a few things. Like one thing is
I collaborate with clients to help them see possibilities beyond their past experiences. I don't know, is that too vague? The other thing I wrote, which I don't know if this is where we're headed, but it's like I help people find a systematic step-by-step plan to get their goals met.
Okay. Which one?
Read.
Go ahead. Sorry, no, please. Sorry, interrupt.
I'm going to read one more, and then the truth is somewhere in the middle there. Another one is I support and act as a guide to help clients negotiate their way to a new story.
Okay. Wow. So for my ears and my mind, the third one sounds the most specific. What do you feel?
That's my favorite, but I didn't know if that was too out there.
What do you think? If you were talking to someone and you asked them what they did and they recited that UB statement, would you understand what kind of work they did?
I would. I mean, this is very much me. So it's the one that feels most authentic to me.
Do you mind reading it again?
I support and act as a guide to help clients negotiate their way to a new story.
Okay. I want to open it up to the group here. Is there anything that you would add to Joyce's statement or take away or encourage her to think about in terms of this statement, how it could maybe land a little bit more compelling, a little bit more specific?
Yeah, this is Genevieve. I would like to hear a different word besides negotiate.
Hey.
Do you have a suggestion?
Not off the top of my head, but when I hear the word negotiate, I just feel that, I don't know, as coaches, we are helping to create, you know, help people uncover blah, 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 whatever they've got going on. And I don't know, negotiating sounds a little too business-like, and I don't know.
That's great feedback, Genevieve. That's wonderful feedback. And so, Joyce, word or phrase that comes to your mind?
Would navigate work?
Well, rather than you ask us, like you did in the coaching session, asking Randy, is that right? Right? So here's another place to practice. Sorry, I don't forget anything. Here's another place to practice. What feels and sounds best to you? Using Genevieve's feedback of maybe changing that word. Go ahead and read it and substitute navigate.
I support and act as a guide to help clients navigate their way to a new story.
How does that feel, group?
This was Genevieve. I like that much better.
Thank you, Genevieve.
Yeah. Wonderful. It takes on a different energy.
No, it really does. It has like creative energy, like you're really getting somewhere instead of a bargaining thing. But I'm grateful for that. Thank you.
Great. And this doesn't have to be the be-all, end-all, Joyce. I'm so grateful that you played around with this, you know, did your homework, and you come up with three, and now you're you're continuing to refine. And it, this not maybe the last version. It may go through a few revisions, but continue to work with that so it really defines who you are, how you show up in the world, and how your work is going to benefit someone else. Okay? Great. Thank you. I would love another participant to share.
This is Genevieve. I'd love to share mine.
Okay, great.
So my thing that I've been crafting is I am a loveologist. I help men and women find healthy, satisfying, fulfilling relationships they love.
Well, could you, do you mind repeating that, please?
I am a loveologist. I help men and women find healthy, satisfying, fulfilling relationships they love.
I love it. Let's open it up to the group. Any feedback that would help support Genevieve's vision with her UBS? Okay, I'll go first because I know we have a lot of shy people on the call. No, we don't. I'm just kidding. I love it because it's so specific. I'm curious if you have shared it with anyone outside of our group.
I have. Well, basically, I've already put myself
out there. You've
already
got business cards printed, right?
I do.
Nice.
And it's called Loveology, and I'm a loveologist.
Okay, just for my clarification, are you saying, can you spell that for me?
So what?
What you are, loveologist, herbologist? I'm not getting that
yeah,
clearly.
Love, L-O-V-E, and then ologist, O-L-O-G-I-S-T.
Loveologist?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, I've never heard of that. I love it. Loveologist. Okay, now go ahead and read it again for me, please. Read it again for us.
I am a loveologist. I help men and women find healthy, satisfying, fulfilling relationships they love.
From my perspective, it's really clear. It's brief. It's concise, and it is specific to the benefits that your clients are going to receive. How does it land with you?
I'm not sure. I mean, I don't have that on anywhere. My website that I'm working on, I guess I do say a little bit that I help men and women. I haven't said that I'm a loveologist yet. I am, my cards say that I'm a dating and relationship life coach, but I'm kind of liking putting loveologist down because people are like, what the hell is that?
It's got a certain energy and ring to it for sure, because I don't even know. You're the first loveologist I've ever met.
Oh, I love it.
So, again, there is, because of the word and it's not sort of mainstream, people would then, like, be curious. Well, what exactly is a loveologist? And therein lies the opportunity for more dialogue.
But, so really but, in what I'm saying, find healthy, satisfying, fulfilling relationships they love is what I really am, you know, is helping people find love. So it's saying helping them find healthy, satisfying, fulfilling relationships that they love, but it's really finding love, period, for themselves, for another person, with the person they're currently with.
I would continue to work with that and refine it a little bit. I would also invite you to maybe play around with bringing in the language of putting the word coach in there, coaching. I love the dating and what was it, dating and relationship coach?
Mm-hmm.
And you can't put the whole thing in it. That would be too long and wordy. But just play around with just refining it a bit more to be more specific on exactly what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you guys so much for sharing. So before we drop into our coach the coach session, you know, take the time if you haven't already to sort of peruse through what I sent you at the beginning of our program, Dr. Dave's mentor coach story. It's in a PDF form. If you do not have it, you don't know where it is, it got deleted by mistake, just send me an email after our call and I'll send you another copy. But basically, it's, you know, considering what do you want your legacy to be? And some of the questions to ask yourself when you're creating this. And to really think big. Like, ask yourself to think super big on this without any obstacles in your way. If you had all of the resources that you needed, you know, what would it look like? Who would you be coaching? Who would you be showing up as in your role as a coach? And who would be benefiting from your expertise? Just pick one thing which means the most to you, which represents a clear representation of who you are. And that's a great start. It's a great launching point. All right. Thanks, everyone. Now we are at the top of the hour. So we will come into our coaching call. Let me just turn my page here. Christine will be coaching Janie, and Randy will be the observer. So if everyone but Christine and Janie would mute, ladies, give us a minute, or just a couple of seconds to do that. Watch your time and then have a great call.
Hi, Jamie. How's your day going?
I'm okay.
I know
not great.
You've got some challenges that you're coping with right now. I understand that.
I'm uncomfortable, but I'm staying with it. I
okay,
loved what
you
shared
you.
At the beginning. Yeah, it was spot on. I identified totally.
How does your energy feel? Do you want to jump right in? Do you feel like you need some grounding? How are you feeling?
I could probably benefit from a little bit of grounding because I'm feeling
okay.
Very scattered. Yeah.
All right.
Great.
Yeah, I can relate to that. All right. So sitting up nice and tall, you can just let your eyes gently close. We just take 3 deep inhales in and exhales out. 3 deep breaths. And see if that makes you feel a little more centered.
Yes.
A little bit better?
Yeah.
All right. So what would you like to get out of our time together today?
Well, I came prepared with an agenda, and just over the past hour have really kind of lost sight of it. I have 3 major things, and maybe what I need to do is to just put them out there and kind of flesh out, because in each situation, my gut feeling is that I don't really have any particular action that needs to be taken in this moment.
Okay.
And but it would be helpful to be able to just kind of put them out there. The first situation has been present in my life for about a year and has to do with a housemate.
Okay.
And
this person is a very, very lovely person who was probably not able to authentically show up when we interviewed to share the house. And when I say that, it's simply because I put forward a lot of my needs, having been in this situation many times before, and kind of my expectations and what I was looking for in terms of a housemate. And what I received back was information that made us sound like a very compatible situation. And over the last year that we have actually lived together, I found that not to be the case.
Okay,
and it's just sitting there.
Okay. So just to clarify, you feel a little bit of frustration. You don't necessarily feel, you're feeling that maybe you didn't get what was advertised. This person wasn't able to show up authentically. And now that they are showing up authentically now, and it's not what you expected, and it sounds like maybe it's frustrating for you.
Correct.
Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, exactly what I'm hearing. It's been clear to me for about a month and a half or 2 months that we've moved into the range where I'm accepting and very cognizant that this situation for me were incompatible, and that a lot of my needs just are simply not being met. But there's a financial component, which has everything to do with the other two issues in my life. The financial component being that I'm not employed. I'm trying to build a practice. I'm looking for work. So I am very aware that there's an underlying, what I would consider, prudent fear of not just saying, I want you out because this is not working for me, because I would lose income that's very important to me right now. And so that's just kind of sitting there. And we've had a couple of conversations around the little small things that kind of niggle on a day-to-day basis. Lights being left on, being awakened, you know, really early in the morning. It was this morning. It was 1 a.m. And I'm just really stuck with not feeling, I'm not trusting. It actually showed up this morning in my yoga class because we were doing all of this work on our backs, opening our backs. And I realized from a somatic standpoint, I was really, really feeling vulnerable. I am really, really feeling vulnerable in this particular stage of my life, which is just a number of transitions. And so the thought of confronting this outright and saying, I think I need to give you the month's notice that we contracted and suggest that you start looking for another place to live. It's one more thing that I then would have to be dealing with. And so I've just been trying to negotiate to find a way to be okay with this and at the same time show up authentically with her and address issues as they come up and just let the rest of it be.
Okay. I think it's fabulous that you were feeling your emotions on the mat, that, you know, our emotions do have physical sensations sometimes, and when we can feel that, sometimes we can cope better with them. So this person, this housemate, do you feel that this person is capable of making changes, or do you feel that you're just stuck and they're not capable of making the changes?
Well, on the first major issue, when it got to the point where I actually did say, this isn't working for me, and I don't want to go another year, you know, I don't want to renew, I don't want to go another year living like this, she addressed the situation and took action. I would prefer not having to. And as I'm saying this out loud, I'm seeing that what my expectations are, the bottom line was that
I had the expectation that I was entering into a situation with somebody whose behavior was more adult, and I feel like we've fallen into these dynamics that I'm very uncomfortable with, where I'm the mom, I'm 20 years older than her, I'm the mom, and she, a lot of the behavior is kind of coming across me, at least, as very adolescent.
Okay.
And as I'm seeing that, I can see that I have a resentment underneath because it's just like, I don't need to be dealing with this right now.
There's the truth. I understand. So if I'm hearing
correctly, you're not even my daughter.
you're trying to, it seems like it feels like both options are going to cause you stress. Not having enough
yes.
money coming in is going to cause you stress, but living
yes.
with this on a day-to-day basis is also going to cause you stress. And so you're
yes.
really just looking to kind of figure out a way to figure out how, which is going to be worse, which is going to be less stressful
mm-hmm.
for you in the long run. Is that what I'm understanding?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Have you tried, imagine you've made the decision to
okay.
either continue on and try to hang in there financially or to, you know, tell this person, I think you need to leave. And how does that feel? If you'd already made the decision, how does each of those things feel?
That's a really good question. That's an excellent question. And
even physically, you feel not even just...
Yeah, no, I
can feel in your
yeah.
body.
Relieved.
Was that relieved if you ask this person to go?
Yeah, and there's the... I mean, there, from an emotional standpoint, there's the sadness of having to actually make that happen because we, you know, it hasn't been all bad. So
right.
it's the person I care about. But if I'm not looking at the financial piece, I mean, literally, like, okay, something is going to come from the universe that will substitute for that piece
yep.
so that I don't have to be concerned about that, then not sharing my home with this particular person feels really like an incredible relief. And I can hear it in my voice.
I can hear it too, actually.
Yeah.
And is it possible that when you're not feeling that stress of, you know, I'm up in the middle of the night and I'm having to parent this person, that maybe other things come easier, looking for a job and trying to launch your
mm-hmm.
business? And maybe does it feel like other things would be easier without the stress of that?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, it's kind of the situation, it's like the straw, that's the straw that breaks the camel's back. Because until she was gone for a week, house sitting somewhere else, and then sent me a text saying, I'm not going to stay the second week, I'm going to be coming home, I'll be home on Monday. And then I heard her at 1 a.m. very, very obtrusively. And I could feel my gut just tighten. And all day long, I have felt like, you know, I have a class tonight and I have things that need to get done and an application that needs to go in, and I don't need to be spending my day trying to figure out when I can get rest in order to function in my life.
Yeah, that's important.
It didn't need that piece today. Yeah.
So what do you think are some... Are there next steps that you can take towards?
Yeah, those are the ones I don't want to go towards.
It can be very overwhelming.
Yeah.
But is there a step, maybe a small step you could take to maybe put some distance between yourself and this person, or a step that you could take to begin the process of of having her find other arrangements?
What just came to my mind as you were asking that question, I'm going to see her this evening, and it had already crossed my mind to just, you know, as an aside, reconfirm with her how incredibly difficult it is for me to have my sleep disturbed, and that is a small step for me in terms of just claiming what I need to claim for my own self-care.
That's hugely important.
That the behavior, that particular behavior had an effect on me that has left me feeling very frustrated. I'm feeling frustrated, whatever it is I'm feeling. I need to communicate that to her as a first step. And I guess the next step is to just trust that wherever the conversation goes, that I will be able to continue to show up authentically and say what I need to say, that I'll find the courage, basically, to move further into the conversation.
And it can be difficult to strike a balance between self-care and, you know, self-advocacy and not wanting to hurt someone's feelings.
Exactly.
I hear that maybe you're experiencing some of that. Is that right?
Yes.
I struggle with that myself.
Very much so, and that's, you're very astute.
I have been there.
It's wonderful just being able to talk about this and put it out, you know, kind of out on the table, has really, it's giving me a sense of being very clear about what's going on inside of me.
Ladies, you have 1 minute to wrap this up.
Okay.
Can I check in with you in a few days and just see where you're at, if you decided to have a conversation or, you know, what you decided to do with your situation? Would that be okay?
Yeah, no, that actually would be very, that would feel very supportive. I would appreciate that. That'd be great.
Is there a good time that you would want me to do that? I mean, I could do a couple of days.
Maybe Friday afternoon.
Okay.
Because that would give enough time.
Yeah, and I would love to know, you know, where you were at with it and, you know, what happened with it.
Thank you.
Okay, well, I think we are
out
of time.
Thank you for your help. Yeah.
But it's been very nice to talk to you today.
Yeah. Thanks, Christine. I really appreciate your presence.
Thanks, ladies. That was publishable. But go ahead and put yourselves on mute. And Randy, if you would come off mute and share your thoughts, give some feedback on what you observed, what worked, what didn't work.
Okay. Wow, wonderful job. Really felt very smooth and comfortable and walked through all of the basic steps, the opening question that kind of led into the importance or the need for the grounding. She just kind of went into that, and it felt like it was a good way to honor that rather than just jump right into, okay, what do you want to accomplish here? That really built a relationship that was great. Asking, clarifying the agenda, what questions that they would want. Jamie talked about three issues, but there was a number of things on the table. Christine really reflected back, and that helped to just flush things out a little bit to understand what the underlying issue is that she wanted to work on. So I think she has some great questions besides wonderful summarizing statements. You know, she asked, do you feel this person's capable of making changes? Even though it was sort of perhaps a closed-ended question, it continued the dialogue. For some part of me that wondered, gosh, if you did ask an open-ended question, what would that look like? But it seemed like it didn't stymie the coaching session. you know, she summarized how both options were going to cause her stress. That felt like it was really important to look at the Geisler two issues here. Again, continue to ask clarifying questions. I mean, there's just so many things that were done well. It was wonderful. I think the only thing is, towards the end, maybe it was just an issue of time. Christine talked about other next steps you can take. It was perfect. It was so nice. For me, it might have been helpful to spend a little bit of time summarizing what the actual commitment was, even though I think Jamie knew what it was, but just to say, all right, sounds like you're going to do this, or Jamie, can you just sort of summarize for me what you think you want to do here when you meet with her or talk with her, what that's going to look like. But wrapping it up with, can I check in with you in a few days, and got specific about exactly when it was going to happen. Sounded great. That's what I noticed.
Great. Thank you so much, Randy. Thanks for using your listening skills so well. So I'll give my feedback, and then we will open it up a little bit for reflection here and see how we can continue to take Christine from good to great. From the outset, Christine, you created, in my mind, such a nurturing container for Jamie. Not only through the grounding piece, but even inquiring if that was something that she needed. And based on, as you got into the more of the dialogue, I could feel how maybe frazzled is the wrong word, but stressed over this situation that she was bringing to the call. And I thought you did a great job of allowing her to share, and then a really superb job of reflecting back to her exactly what you heard and helping to clarify the agenda. I thought you reached a great place in the call, determining useful intervention moments, when Jamie says, wow, that's just incredible relief. At that point, I felt like the energy had shifted. Like there you had already made a successful connection in shifting Jamie's perspective, maybe a little aha moment for you, but really hearing from Jamie, wow, that's a bit of incredible relief. She said that's the straw which broke the camel's back. So there you are. You were at that point in your conversation, and I know that was helpful in enabling Jamie to shift her perspective into, you know, what she could do to catalyze change, what kind of steps could she take, but sort of reflecting on, wow, I have options now, rather than feeling so stuck with either I do this or I do this in the beginning. Now you've created some options, some opportunities, and I thought you did a great job of just releasing the tension, and that in and of itself can create opportunity, because we're in that place of stress a lot of times. We have blinders on, and we're only tapped into our emotional brain rather than the logical reasoning part of our brain. So wonderful job there. And I love how Jamie kept coming back to saying, it just crossed my mind. When I hear that in the client, I know that the coach is doing their job, because they're eliciting some deep reflection in the client that maybe they're not thinking about prior to the call or even up to that point in the call. But just crossing her mind means that you opened up the door to possibility thinking. She talked about communicating to her housemate about her disturbed sleep and really honing in on her self-care piece, which is huge. To Jamie, I hear that, and I think that you heard that. Framing the session, there were a few yes and no questions, as Randy pointed out, not too many, but it will continue to build strength there in how you're posing your questions. But a great question is, what works for you in terms of check-in? Rather than, for example, may I check in with you on this date? Let the client come up with the day and time that they're committed to, because remember, when it comes from the client, it has more of an impact, and in this case, more accountability. Yeah, and then I agree with Randy, and I think it's definitely a time issue. I know it because it's like this in every program that I lead. 15 minutes is just not a lot of time. But if you can get the client at the end of the session to say, I am committed to whatever it is they're committed to, it lands a whole lot stronger. So there you go, my 2 cents worth. Let's hear from Jamie first. How was that for you? What worked? What didn't work?
Oh, I thought she did a great job. I really felt I experienced a connection from the get-go, and maybe that even went to the beginning of the class. In terms of what Christine had shared about what she was going through, you know, her win and her challenge. And so I felt that sense of connection going into the call. And from a client standpoint, that was really important because it allowed me to go to a more vulnerable and authentic place than if that had not been there. So that was like my really big takeaway from being the client in this was how skillfully she presented and then nurtured, you used the word nurtured that sense of connection. And there were a couple of things that Christine said that she's like, yeah, I've been there. You know, I mean, I really felt, oh my God, I'm not alone. I'm not crazy. And that was so powerful in terms of me being able to stay real.
That's such a great reflection. Thank you for that. That's you know, just really honest and authentic. Christine, I want to turn it over to you for just a minute and ask how that felt to you and how the feedback has been for supporting you.
Yeah, I felt a connection as well. I liked that we were able to laugh together a few times during our coaching session because I felt that, you know, humor increases your connection to another person, and I thought that was really great. I was really afraid of long silences and going, and it flowed. We really did have a connection. And certainly the feedback's been good, more, you know, fewer yes and no questions. And but I it was good.
Awesome. Thank you. Anyone else on the call who hasn't already spoken, we can take maybe one or two people to support Christine, give her feedback on what you heard.
It's Joyce.
Thanks, Joyce.
Hi. I thought the whole thing just felt so real. You know, I understand we're on conference calls and you feel like you've got a formula to follow, but it just, she was really listening. They were really speaking to each other. It felt, it just felt very nurturing, and I loved it when Christine said, you know, she recognized it was a stressful situation either way and said, imagine it each way and how does that feel? Like, how does that really feel? I mean, that was pivotal. That was just so really brilliant.
Thank you. Joyce, anybody else?
Hello? I can't hear anything. Things are beeping in and
out. Yes, Sarah, I think you're breaking up. We can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's so funny. I haven't moved. Okay. Great. Thank you, Joyce. Anybody else want to share some feedback for Christine?
This is Carla.
Thanks, Carla.
I just want to say that if I ever need a coach, I will definitely call Christine.
Nice. Yeah. That's great. And I'll just, you know, finish up by sharing again that I said this before, but it's so powerful. When you take the time to open yourself up to coaching around something that's real in your life, something that you're experiencing now, that is so powerful. It's so impactful. And I feel like it really helps facilitate the learning of all of these weeks that we're together and all this information and all this material. It just sort of comes to fruition. You can see how it just manifests through listening to a live coaching call. So I just want to really thank you all again, all of you, not just the two for today, but every week for you guys bringing real live authentic stuff to the call. So, all right, if there aren't any other questions, we are complete for today. And as you'll note on your syllabus, for your homework is to read pages 153 through 184, so a little bit more reading this week. And I know the page numbers may be different on your yoga supplement. On mine, it's page 10, but take read lesson number 5 and number 6 and take the action challenge that follows lesson number 6. So for some of you, it may be on page 9. For some of you, it may be on page 10. But read lesson 5 and 6 and take the action challenge. Okay. Have a wonderful week. Thank you so much for your time and your energy. Let me know if I can support you in any way. And I look forward to week 9 next week. Thanks, everyone. Namaste.
Thank you. Thanks, Christine. Namaste.
Thank you.